Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, The Activities of the Prachetas, Text Number 5. Suparna-skandam-arudau Meru-śrīṅgam-ivam-buddha Pita-vāsa-mani-grivaha Kurvan viti mira dishaha Suparna skandam arudhau Meru shringam ivam buddha Pita vasa mani griva Kurvan vimi Viti miradishaha. Ladies, Suparna of Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Skandam, the shoulder. Aruna, Aruda, sitting on. Meru, of the mountain named Meru. Shringam, on the summit. On the summit. Eva, like. Ambuda, a cloud. Pitavasa, wearing yellow garments. Mani Griva, his neck decorated with the Kostuba jewel. Kurvan, making. Vitimira, free from darkness. Dishaha, all directions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain named Meru. The transcendental body of the personality of Godhead was covered with attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with a jewel known as Kaustubha Mani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. Purport, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:31, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andakara Yahum Krishna Tahum Nahi Mayara Adhikara. Krishna, the Lord, is just like the effulgent sun. Consequently, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, there cannot be darkness or ignorance. Actually, this dark universe is illuminated by the sun, but the sun and moon simply reflect the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:8, the Lord says, Pravasi Shasi Sureyo. I am the illuminating energy of both the sun and the moon. The conclusion is that the origin of all life is the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha, Prabhavato Jagaranda Koti, Kotishvashesha Vasudhari Vibhuti Binam. Being illuminated by the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is freed from all darkness. So the text again. Supurna skandam arurudo merusringam ivam buddha pita vasa mani grivaha kurvan vitimira dishaha. The personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the personality of Godhead was covered with attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with the jewel known as Kaustubha Mani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Puristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarane. We say in the prayer, Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. That we're offering respects to the spiritual master because he's taking the shalakaya, which is an instrument used in Ayurvedic medicine, in order to rub a salve or some ointment into the eyes of the patient. So what is that ointment? It's ultimately, as it says here, it's knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship with Him and the process of establishing that relationship. Because without Krishna, there is Maya. as it says here, Krishna Surya Sama, because Krishna is just like the sun, Maya Haya Andhakara, and Maya is just like darkness. Yahum Krishna, wherever there is Krishna, Nahi, there will not be Mayara Adhikara. Maya has no jurisdiction. So, if we actually want to get out of ignorance, and ignorance begins with our misidentifying ourselves with this gross and subtle material bodies, and then thinking ourselves to be the doer and possessor in this material world, possessors. We think that I'm doing so many things, and so many things belong to me. So this is all part product of Maya, or ignorance. Now, we get the theoretical knowledge that actually we're a spiritual being, and we're apart from the material nature, and that for us to manifest any activity in this material world is only possible by Krishna making the arrangements through his material energy, or through his spiritual energy. When we desire to become instruments of Krishna, that's what it is, that's what it means. We become instruments. We don't become the doer. We simply allow Krishna to utilize his spiritual energy in his service. When we don't agree to become Krishna's instrument in his service, then we become instruments in the illusory energy service, which is also Krishna's service, but it's the service of keeping the souls within the bounds of material nature and ignorance. So that's our choice, whether we want to be in the light of Krishna consciousness and acknowledge ourselves simply to be Krishna's servants, and therefore desire that Krishna become victorious, just like we're seeing the prayers of Lord Nrisimhadev, that he may become victorious. It is not that we're singing that we can become victorious. We become victorious when we allow Krishna's mission to become victorious. When we agree, let Krishna's energies be utilized in Krishna's service for the sake of delivering myself as well as the other conditioned souls. Not that we're going to become victorious and glorious. First of all, who are we? That little tiny soul within the body, what is he going to do to become victorious and glorious in this world? He becomes victorious and glorious when he allows the actual victorious and glorious person to carry on his desire and mission of delivering other conditioned souls from their illusion. So, what is our process? It is not that we have to figure out some new process. The process is giving people Krishna, especially in this age. Of course, giving them the holy name of Krishna, inspiring them to chant Hare Krishna, but with the attitude of asking Krishna to engage us in his loving service. And of course, to engage in Krishna's loving service, we also have to simultaneously give up our loving service to the illusory energy. Because presently, we're very much attached either to our gross material bodies or to our subtle material desires, whatever they may be. And ultimately, we're attached to our false ego. That let me become glorious in this world. Let me become successful. Let me become this or that. This is all product of a false ego. So to get rid of our false ego, we have to, as Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, it's quite simple. One has to become a servant of a self-realized personality. Self-realized personality means one who actually knows and is completely absorbed 24 hours a day in Krishna and being an instrument for Krishna. In other words, the soul who's actually accepted that he is Krishna's eternal servant, and practically speaking, the activities of his body are under the influence of the internal energy of Krishna, Daivi Prakriti. And how do we know that? Because satatam kirtayantomam yatantas cha jridavrataha namasyantas ramam bhaktya nityukta upasate. Such a person is always speaking about Krishna's glories. Satatam kirtayantomam yatantas cha jridavrataha. And in spite of whatever difficulty there may be, he's always engaged in fulfilling Krishna's mission. And he never takes credit, he or she never takes credit for being the doer. He understands that only by the mercy of his spiritual master's instructions, coming into simple succession, by accepting them and desiring that they may become fulfilled, does Krishna take over and he becomes an instrument for Krishna. Therefore, he's always meek and humble, praying to Krishna that Krishna may utilize himself and his whatever energies he's acquired in Krishna's service. That's the position of a person who's actually properly situated in this world. Maharaj Rishabhdev said, Garor na sasyat. Swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyan, janani na sasyan, na sasyat, daivam na chatsyan, na patis na chasyan, cha sasyat-syan namochyak-yak-samupetim retyur. So, Maharaj Rishabhdev mentions different personalities, different responsible positions. Prabhupada translates the verse, or is translated as, one who cannot deliver his dependence from the path of birth and death should never become the first one mentions, guru, a spiritual master. And then, swajano, a relative. Pita, a husband, or a father, actually. Pita is father, and janani means the mother. And daiva means a worshipful demigod, and patis means a husband. That everyone in this material world is on the path of birth and death, and that in this material world, we take different positions of authority. But the natural authority, not only the initiating or instructing spiritual master, but also the father is a natural authority. The mother is a natural authority. People who are respectable are natural authorities. And the husband is a natural authority. But the purpose of that authority is to give people Krishna. Therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amar Aga Guruhana Tari Desh, that everyone should take the role of guru, that instructor to give people Krishna. We should not think that anyone has any potency to do any good to anyone except to give people Krishna. Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda has said that he found no lacking in this material world except for Krishna consciousness. After all, I was saying, no one dies healthy. And everyone's going to die. Everyone's body's going to die. Therefore, there is no question of simply saving people by making them healthy. Because ultimately, just like we can gain 100 million euros, but if we only have it for a few seconds, what is the value of 100 million euros to us? So we may have health, we may not have health. We're only going to be here for a few moments. So what we actually need is Krishna consciousness. Of course, health may be instrumental, it may be helpful for us to become Krishna conscious, so we don't neglect health. That's one of the main things that the Srimad Bhagavatam says, that we should not desire anything, but at least that we can desire a healthy life, so that we can become Krishna conscious. So one less distraction from our mission of becoming Krishna conscious. On the other hand, many healthy people are not Krishna conscious. And ultimately, all the healthy people die also. And their next life may not be so auspicious if they're not Krishna conscious. Therefore, everyone should take as their primary responsibility is to help others become Krishna conscious, to become Krishna's instrument. Because I just didn't make that up. Krishna was saying in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asked Krishna, what is your mission? He was wondering, what is this all about? He was seeing fire coming out of Krishna's mouths. He was eating up the soldiers. He was manifesting all kinds of clubs and other weapons and spheres. He had so many faces. They were all revolving around. And he was so many planets and Brahma sitting on a lotus flower. And all the divine snakes, the Nagas at the bottom of the... What was it all about? He was wondering. It's a big show, but what is going on? Tell me. Akyaki meko bhavan ururupo, ugra rupo. He didn't think it was very pleasant, but at least he wanted to find out what was happening. Namostute deva vara prasida. But I'm offering you a respectful obeisance anyhow. You look like you're in a bad mood, but let me give you some respect anyhow. Namostute deva vara prasida. Vigyatim ichchami bhavantam adyam. I want to know what's going on. What is your purpose in all this? So what did Krishna say? Well, you know, everyone has a bad day, and this happens to be my bad day. You know, everyone gets in a bad mood once in a while, and I'm sure I'll get better tomorrow. Just have a little patience. No, he said, Kalosmi shaya krit prarido. Lokansami hartami haparvi dak ritepi dvam nabhavi shanti sarve evastita pratnyukeshi yoda. Time I am the destroyer of all the worlds. So that's what time is doing. If we haven't noticed, it's destroying everything. Even a little baby, it looks always so young and healthy, and we think, oh, it's one day old. But Prabhupada would say, it's not one day old, it's one day dead. It has a certain amount of lifetime that came along with the body, and one day means it's one day closer to death. But of course, this would be very discouraging for any kind of person who has material aspirations. How can you say like that, this poor little baby, you're claiming it's going to be dead soon? Are you threatening it, or what? But actually, many babies nowadays, they don't even make it out of the womb. They don't even get to celebrate a birthday because they don't take birth. So they're one day dead. They didn't even get that. They were dead before the one day. Therefore, Krishna says, Kala, smi, I am time and I'm taking everything away. Mrityu sara haras jaham. Every moment, things are taken away. But ayu vayati Ayur harati vai pumsam yavan astas I can't remember it. Ayur harati vai pumsam. That as soon as the sun comes up, ayur, the life of the living entity is being taken away. And except for those who are actually glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then their activities are actually bringing them to eternal life. So Krishna says, time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds, and I've come to engage everyone. Krishna's equal to everyone. It's not that this is a nice person, a pious Brahmin, Krishna will not kill him because he likes him. But here's a rascal, Krishna doesn't like him. Therefore, Krishna is going to kill him. No, he kills everyone. Even his firstborn son, Brahma, dies very quickly. As I said, in 1 second of one second of Mahavishnu, because he breathes rapidly, in 1 breath of Mahavishnu, 1 second of Mahavishnu, 3 Brahmas are born and die. In Mahavishnu's life, it's not a big life. You don't have a big life expectancy as a Brahma. For us, it's inconceivable 311 trillion, 40 billion years to live, because we're only going to, at maximum, live 100 years. We make it to 90 years old, people are amazed. What is that compared to 311 trillion, 40 billion years? And there's 3 Brahmas that come and go in 1 second of Mahavishnu. And who knows Mahavishnu's existence compared to what's going on in Goloka Vrindavan. So what is the significance of our life? Time is taking everything away quite rapidly. And time is taking everything away from everyone. Except for the Pandavas. So the Pandavas were devotees. Krishna is pointing out the Pandavas. Because the Pandavas were doing the fight, were fighting as an act of devotion to Krishna. Therefore, time wasn't taking their life away. Time was helping them get real life. As they say, get a life. So that's what we're actually trying to do. We're trying to get a real life. And then Krishna says, Tasmat Twam Yutishri Shola Basva Jitva Shatrum Bhukshva Rajan Sramidam Maya Evata Niyatam Purvam Eva Nimitra Matram Bhavasavasa Chin. Get up, Krishna tells Arjuna. You lazy rascal. I saw you fall asleep on the chariots. Get up. Prepare to fight. And after conquering your enemy, you'll enjoy a flourishing kingdom. There he put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Savasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, just become an instrument. The whole thing about renunciation is, as Prabhupada says, renounce the material concept of life, renounce the idea that we're going to do something valuable other than simply surrender to Krishna. Because generally speaking, we make a little advancement and we get puffed up thinking ourselves, oh, see how much advancement I made. See how enlightened I am. See how I'm delivering others. See how I'm controlling my senses. See how I'm doing this and that. Everyone take a photo and put it on Facebook. Yeah, all right. I'm there. Shoot. Hare Krishna. Another photo. Yes, yes. This is a contradiction to the idea of just being an instrument. So, if we come to that professional stage, it's not so simple. Because we're just so much overwhelmed by our false ego and our false conception of life that as soon as we think, oh, I'm not the doer, then we immediately stop. If I'm not the doer, I'm not going to do anything. If I'm not going to take the credit, if I can't get any credit, then I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. No inspiration. Oh, this all goes to Krishna. Well, he's already gets enough credit anyhow. What does he need my credit too? Why is he so greedy for credit? To come to the point of just becoming an instrument, it's possible if we just find out what Krishna wants us to do, we assimilate the philosophy, gradually accept that we're supposed to help others become Krishna conscious and practice the process of becoming Krishna conscious ourselves so we can tell others what the process is. If we ourselves don't know what the process is, how can we tell anyone else what the process is? And unless we practice the process and realize the process, how much can we really tell others? Therefore, although we were supposed to become guru, but we shouldn't think, oh, yes, I'm guru, my little child, I'm guru. Bow down, little child. Your savior has arrived at home. Similarly, the husband shouldn't think, oh, I am guru in my house. I was lord, but now I'm guru. And bow down, wife. Surrender. No, one should understand how inadequate as a guru we actually are. As Prabhupada writes in the verse, Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Krishna Swarup, Krishnara Swarup, Bhakta Shesta Antaryami Eduri Rup. That the Shiksha Guru is appearing as in two different forms. Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Krishnara Swarup, the actual form of Krishna, the Shiksha Guru is appearing. He's appearing as the best of the devotees. Bhakta Shresta, Antaryami, Eduru Rup. In these two different forms, of the best of the devotees and as the super soul in the heart. So we think, oh, I'm guru now. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me to come become guru. Now I'm the best of the devotees. No. We're not. Obviously, just by getting a child and becoming the parent, you don't become the best of the devotees. Just by getting married and having a wife, you don't become the best of the devotees. Just by giving this initiation, one doesn't become the best of the devotees. Therefore, there are two types of Shiksha Gurus. One of them is situated in transcendence, and he is actually Bhakta Shrestha. He sees everything from the point of view of Krishna. He's actually in the same level as Krishna is. And he knows exactly what Krishna wants, all at every moment, eternally. Because he's connected with Krishna. And therefore he can tell exactly what everyone else should do, because he's not telling. Krishna and his spiritual master are telling him. And he can tell everyone else, because he's hearing from them. And there you know, therefore, that reason he knows, because he's connected to Krishna and his disciple succession. Others who may not be so advanced have some connection, or had some connection, or sometimes have some connection, and therefore they have some idea how they got a little bit more advanced, how they got some of Krishna's mercy, and they can tell others how to get some of Krishna's mercy too. But when they think, oh, I've gotten some of Krishna's mercy, now I become completely enlightened all the time. Well, that's a mistake. We may not know all the time, in all time, place, and circumstances, what should be done. And therefore, we may have a tendency to mislead others because of our incomplete knowledge. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes that the acharya, in the true sense of the term, who's authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge, and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. Full spiritual knowledge, why do we need it? To come to the platform of acting on the second class platform. Because unless we act on the second class platform, we're not going to make any advancement in Krishna consciousness. Or not in Krishna consciousness. Because devotional service begins at the liberated platform. We can't perform devotional service unless we're acting and understanding what the liberated platform is. In other words, try to love Krishna, try to do our activities not with some material aspiration, trying to get some remuneration, especially not in terms of material comfort or relieving our distress. Try to do something besides that, by absorption in trying to please Krishna. And at the same time, cooperate with the devotees. The tendency is we don't want to cooperate with anyone. We only cooperate with our mind and senses. So when we meet another person's mind and senses, how to cooperate with them, how to compromise so we can work together is not so simple. And then to try to help innocent people, rather than neglect them, or despise them, or try to do things simply to, you know, to control them, to actually try to help them, inspire them to come to Krishna consciousness. And then to avoid the innumerable ways in Kali Yuga of associating with those who are, have no interest in Krishna consciousness, who are simply drawing everyone's mind, including ours, away from Krishna. Whether through the internet, or Facebook, or through the advertisements, or movies, or television, or whatever else, Maya is being manifested in this material world in Kali Yuga. So one has to act on that platform, trying to love Krishna, try to serve Krishna's mission, try to cooperate with the other devotees to serve the mission, try to help, the mission is to help each other and the innocent people become Krishna conscious and avoid the people and the circumstances or the activities that which would draw our mind away from pure Krishna consciousness. Then there is a possibility of making some advancement. So that expert instructions are found by such a liberated person as Śrīla Prabhupāda. Therefore, we refer to Śrīla Prabhupāda's books. Even someone is liberated. But how do they become liberated in this age? Either they were born like Śukadeva Goswami, which is not very usual, or they followed a liberated personality such as Śrīla Prabhupāda, and that way they became liberated. And Prabhupada said his books are the standard for the next 10,000 years, so therefore everyone should refer to his, especially in our society, should refer to his instructions. And if someone gives them instructions and they're challenged, or where that instruction comes from, well, it was manifest in my heart, then they're bogus. Not that Krishna manifested within Brahma's heart, but what is your qualification that Krishna is going to manifest in your heart? No, one has to refer back to Prabhupada's instructions. Otherwise, one's instructions are bogus, at least within our society. And what is that instruction? It's there that we have to give people Krishna, not project our personality forward. Prabhupada was noted. He didn't try to name the society the International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness. It was the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Prabhupada never claimed I was great, I did wonderful thing. He said if there's anything wonderful I did, it's because I didn't change anything. I simply was delivering what my spiritual master gave me. And if someone else doesn't take that position, it's only because we're not very much advanced in Krishna consciousness. And therefore there is every danger of others taking up that same mood of trying to become, you know, prominent themselves. My leader is so prominent, so wonderful, I should become wonderful and great like they are. Yes, we should become wonderful and great like our leader, and our leader should become a humble servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and that will be his greatness. If one is actually an instrument for Krishna, like Vidura, when he came back after pilgrimage, Marjudasthira noted that he was great, not because he walked in a certain way or talked in a certain way, but he said, Bhavan vidas bhagavatas tirtha bhutak svayam vibho tirtha kuravanti tirthani svantak stena prakatabhrataha. That saints like yourself, their places of pilgrimage, because they convert places of pilgrimage into places of pilgrimage, every place, because they're always in Krishna consciousness. They're always a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and always trying to act as an instrument of Krishna. Therefore, that's their greatness, because Krishna is great, his devotees are great, and one who becomes a servant of Krishna's devotees without any other aspiration, and they are great because wherever they go, Krishna and his great devotees come along with them. And that makes everything wonderful. So we shouldn't think, and as soon as we become a little proud of what we think we're doing, what we think we're, who we think we are, then Krishna withdraws his mercy, and then we become useless, insignificant. Therefore we should always be anxious to put Krishna with our own consciousness, and then we can teach others how to put Krishna in their consciousness too, properly. So, Kuala. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Krishna says that Arjuna will become an instrument, and in this age, I mean, it's really bad to become an instrument for other people's bad karma. How do we draw the line between having the right discernment and following the Ahimsa principles of not killing someone, let's say,
not killing someone? What do you mean by not killing someone?
Krishna told Arjuna, fight, you're just an instrument. How do you draw the line of actually taking responsibility for certain acts?
Oh, therefore we have to study Shastra. It was probably right in 1857 in Bhagavad Gita, that if Krishna is not personally present, how do we know how to act? If one follows the directions of Krishna in this book, as well as under the guidance of Krishna's representative, then the result will be as good as if Krishna was personally directing us. So in a humble attitude, if we have something especially significant that we have to decide on, we should humbly research through the available means, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and we should try to act in such a way as that Krishna will be pleased, or a Guru or a Sadhu will be pleased to reveal to us what the answer is, humble submission, for instance, and inquisitiveness, asking the right questions. And when Krishna and his representatives see our genuine desire for an answer, then he blesses us with genuine spiritual understanding. And then we'll know that we get genuine spiritual understanding. And until that time, then we should go through the process so that sometime or another, the Krishna and his representatives will bestow upon us genuine spiritual understanding, so we will know what to do. Until that, we shouldn't do anything. Yes.
I've heard that Nrisimha is destroying difficulties on our devotional bhakti. And then also devotees sometimes say that Ganesh is also giving away these obstacles and give him as present and put him on altar. So I'm a little bit confused.
We don't do that. Not in our society. Ganesh is, as it says in Brahma Samhita, he became auspicious because he has always the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadeva upon his tusks, his tumuli. So he's auspicious because he's the devotee of Lord Nrisimhadeva. But we don't worship him apart from being a devotee of Lord Nrisimhadeva. Just like we don't worship Prahlad being apart from Lord Nrisimhadeva. Okay?
I noticed that, like, every second day my chanting is bad, and every second day maybe a little bit better, but still bad. And then I always wonder in my mind, what offense did I do again? And then sometimes I ask the Holy Man for the answer, but then it seems that I too much think of my offenses, and I don't know, is it normal what to do with such bad days, chanting? Should I think of offenses and how to rectify it and apologize? It seems to be so many that I'm lost in this, not even aware of it.
Well, we shouldn't spend all our time glorifying Maya. We should try to find something. I mean, best thing to do is to find one offense and then work on that. And then if we conquer that one offense, then we'll become inspired. We can find another offense. But generally we should try to chant nicely. We shouldn't worry so much about the offenses. We should try to chant with some attention, try to chant with some feeling to Krishna. And that will naturally take care of it. But if there is a lot of disturbance, we can pick out one offense, just write it down, and then work on it. Go back to try to chant nicely. I mean, how many things can we do in a day anyhow? Nicely. So to expect ourselves to become perfect in one day that's just a product of the false ego. I can do it, I'm so powerful, I'm so sincere, I'm this and that. You can do it, go for it. And we just don't go anywhere. Maya doesn't say, well, just pick out one of them and get rid of it. That's too simple and too effective. So if we really want to get rid of our offenses, then just find one of them and get rid of it. And then they'll all go away after some time. Anything else? Yes.
I would like to ask, when chanting, you are oftentimes saying that it has to do with some kind of feeling. So I wanted to ask, what kind of feeling?
Well, shouldn't, yeah.
Sometimes I was told that even when dancing in front of deities, somebody was telling me that if I feel any kind of attraction to the deity, it's just a haji at the time.
Really, where did Prabhupada say that in his books? What's that? Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just wondering.
Why? Who said that?
I don't have a name. It's another devotee.
But it must be an authority, otherwise, why are you repeating it? What's that?
I sometimes take the shisha because he's an elderly.
But where did he get it from? Or she?
I guess I would have to ask him.
It would be a good idea. Otherwise, what is their authority? Did you read Nectar of Devotion?
Not yet, Stephen, no.
Oh, maybe you should read Nectar of Devotion.
That's why I'm asking, because it's you as authority.
No, I'm referring to Nectar of Devotion. That's why I'm an authority. At least I'm not trying to tell you I'm an authority. It's Nectar of Devotion is the authority. There it says if you dance and clap your hands and so many sinful activities go away. In any case, if someone tells you something, you should ask them, what's their authority? Or if you don't, if you're embarrassed, then you should find out. You should read the books to find out what they're talking about. Otherwise, we'll simply get misled. Anything else? Jai. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.